Well, as I mentioned a little earlier this morning, we're in the second week of a five-week message series called New Beginnings. With this being the beginning of a new year and a new decade, it's a great time to stop and kind of take a look at our attitudes and our directions and spend some time revisiting what our faith has to say about how we approach life. And in the first week, our focus was on crossing the line between doubt and belief, and how crossing that line and choosing to follow the ways of Jesus gives us a foundation on which to build our lives, that while storms may hit and as we navigate the sea of change, putting our faith in Christ and Christ alone is like building on a rock. It's like an anchor that holds us safe no matter what we face. Now today I'd like us to move on from there and look at the choices that we often have to make. Choice between taking risks and playing it safe. And as we do that, I want us to hear from two different passages of Scripture. The first is from the 90th Psalm, verses 1 through 6. Listen to these words. O Lord, you have always been our home. Before you created the hills or brought the world into being, you were eternally God and will be God forever. You tell us to return to what we were. You change us back to dust. 1,000 years to you are like one day. They're like yesterday already gone, like a short hour in the night. You carry us away like a flood. We last no longer than a dream. We are like weeds that sprout in the morning, that grow and burst into bloom, then dry up and die in the evening. And then from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, we read this. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And then he climbed into the boat. The wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us and challenge us today through these words of Scripture and through the whispers of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, a practice that I've done probably since I came here over 10 years ago now is sometimes I'm sitting at my desk and I'm kind of figuring things out and dealing with things, and maybe I'm in between appointments, and I decide I'm going to go for a walk. So I'll go over to the cemetery next door and I'll kind of walk around the cemetery, not in the winter, but when the weather's nice, and it's kind of a way to get away and quiet and pray. And one of the things I do as I kind of walk through the cemetery is I look at the headstones, and sometimes I'll look at the date, like when was this person born, and then I'll look at when they departed. And sometimes I'll kind of do the math and go, wow, they had a long life, long life, and other times I go, wow, that was a short life. And what I want us to focus on today is not the length of life, not when we begin or when we end, but that dash in between. You know, it says born this date and dash and departed this date. I was talking about this at the 5:30 and 9 service, and a woman said, have you ever read the poem, The Dash, by Linda Ellis? I said, no. She said, look it up. I looked it up, and instead of my words, I'm going to read hers. And this is how it goes. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. And he referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that the first came the date of birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those 2 years. For that dash represents all the time they spent alive on earth, and now only those who love them know what that line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. To be less quick to anger and to show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved them before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last for a little while. So when your eulogy is read, when your life actions rehash, would you rather be proud of the things they say about you or how you live your dash? And that's kind of the focus that I want us to look at this morning. What are we doing with that dash? In our scripture reading from the 90th Psalm, we read this depressing little line. You sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like new grass of the morning, though in the morning it springs up by new, by evening it's dry and withered. The message here is that life goes by so fast. It's fleeting in the scope of all eternity. And a little further down in the 90th Psalm, it says this, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. For 1,000 years in your sight is like a day that has just gone by, a watch in the night. The psalmist is saying that human life is unspeakably precious and unbelievably short. And so we need to number each day as a treasure and use it wisely. But the question is, how? Is it wise to live a life always being careful and avoid any kind of risk? Or is it wise to say yes to some level of risk and attempt something that you might fail at? There's a guy that some of you may have heard of, Dr. Tony Campolo. He's a sociology professor at Eastern University. He's written a number of books that are Christian-based. He used to come to the church that I served once a year to speak, and that started in my early 20s, and he always has challenged me and inspired me. Well, some time ago, Dr. Campolo gave an assignment to one of his classes. Each student was assigned to interview men and women between the ages of 80 and 90 years of age, and there was only one question in that interview. And it was, if you had your life to do all over again, what is the main thing that you would do differently? The number one answer, by a huge margin, was, I would take more risks. I would take more risks. Well, our second scripture reading for today from the Gospel of Matthew is really a story of risk. The disciples are out in the boat, and it's being buffeted by winds and waves, and the disciples are starting to get a little worried. Then something happened that added to their fear. They saw a figure out on the water, and they first thought it was a ghost, and they cried out in fear. But it was Jesus walking out to them on the water. And Jesus yells out to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Then Peter, you got to love Peter, he was bold. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water with you. And Jesus said, come on, Peter. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Now, in the Bible, it's very common to read about an encounter between God and human beings. So frequent that scholars have given it a name. They call it the call narratives, because they're stories of that record God summoning or God calling a person to go somewhere or do something. And in every case, what God calls them to do is like very difficult, maybe even seen as impossible. Like, for example, God comes to Abraham and says, I want you to leave everything that's familiar and go to a country that I'll show you when you get there. And then at the age of 99, just think about this, I want you to have a son, start a family. Oh, okay, God. And then God comes to Moses and says, I want you to leave a life that's very predictable, shepherding with your father-in-law, and go back to Egypt where you're wanted for murder and defy the Pharaoh. Huh, okay. And then God comes to Noah and says, I want you to build an ark in the face of the ridicule and restart the human race here on earth. Piece of cake, right? And Jesus called the disciples to leave what they were doing to follow him. And he even called Peter to get out of the boat and walk on water. You see, God has been in the business and is still in the business of challenging people to bust a move, to say yes to his call, to make a difference, and not always play it safe. This Monday, we as a nation honor the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, a Baptist pastor who God called to speak out against hatred and prejudice. He ended up being the voice, the major voice of the civil rights movement that changed this country forever. But it started with one small word. It started with a yes. Saying yes to God's call and refusing to play it safe. We all know that he was spat on and beaten and put in jail, and eventually saying yes to God's call cost him his life. But God used his life in such a profound way that it changed our nation. One of the things that I believe to the core of my being is that God has a purpose for every single human being. And that God oftentimes calls us to leave what is safe and predictable and comfortable behind and do something that makes a difference in this world for the sake of God's kingdom. You know, I often think of my sister as an example of someone who would take leaps of faith and say yes to God instead of playing it safe. Like my brother and I, she worked summers at General Motors to help pay for college. And then when she graduated from college, she stayed on and she worked and she climbed the corporate ladder. And after working there for 20 years, she was named the head of training and development and oversaw their college internship programs and traveled around the country, leading seminars, recruiting future leaders on campuses across the country. She loved it. But then in a move that many of her colleagues, including Rick Wagner, who was then the CEO of GM, called crazy, she stepped down to become an area director for Young Life. She had volunteered for years, but when the opportunity came up, she felt the call, and she didn't blink an eye. It was probably like an 80% pay cut, but that didn't stop her. It did kind of worry her husband. But she said yes. She never looked back. She played a significant role in raising funds for Camp Timberwolf. It was a dream of many in her leadership circle. And every summer, she would spend several weeks there with the urban camp. And at her funeral 3 years ago, there was just story after story after story where kids who are now adults said, you know, Sue, forever changed my life. She pointed me to Jesus. I don't know where I'd be if it weren't for her. One of my favorite verses, all of Scripture, is from 2 Timothy 1:7. For the Spirit that God has given us does not make us timid. Instead, His Spirit fills us with power and love and self-control. The psalmist is right. Life is short. We're like weeds that sprout in the morning, that grow and burst into bloom, and then dry up in the evening. But the question is, what are we going to do with the dash that marks the time between our arrival and our departure? Play it safe, or be willing to say yes to what God may be calling us to do? Will we step out of the boat when God calls us to walk on water? Will we hang on to the gunwales with a death grip? There's one more thing that I want you to think about and notice from this Matthew text, and it's in verses 30 and 31. In this story, I love it, Peter takes the initiative. Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water." And Jesus tells him to come. So Peter gets out of the boat and he starts walking on the water towards Jesus. And then in verse 30 it says, but when he saw the wind, my guess is he saw the waves because you don't see wind, but when he saw all this commotion in the water, he was afraid and he began to sink. Peter did what we often do. We take our eyes off Jesus and we focus on all the wind and all the waves and all the stuff that's going on, and fear overpowers our faith and we begin to sink. But what happens next is what I hope you will remember and hold on to and take home with you today. We read, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. It's one thing to always play it safe and to never take risk and watch life pass you by. It's another thing to open yourself up to what God may be calling you to do, and even to count the cost and consider the risk, to seek wise counsel before making a leap of faith. But it's another thing to know that even in our failures, Jesus is there. That Jesus reaches out to catch us when we fail, when we begin to sink. One of the most powerful messages that come from the Lord's Supper, from communion, is God's presence and God's grace to us when we fail, even when we lack faith and begin to sink. And as we take that bread representing the broken body and as we drink from the cup that represents the blood that he spilled on our behalf, we're reminded of Christ's love for us, even when, especially when, we fall short and when we fail. It's a reminder that through the love of Christ, we can let go of failures and be freed from the baggage of past mistakes. It's a constant reminder that God frees us from the past and encourages us to say yes to his call and refuse to play it safe. At the Lord's Supper, we're reminded that with Christ, there is always, 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 always a new beginning, a new opportunity to make the most out of this one and only life that he's given to us. Let us pray. Lord, as we come now to this time of communion, remind us once again that you extend your hand to us as we fall short and as we fail. We pray for you to call us and to make a difference in this world for the sake of your kingdom, and to say yes when the world around us tells us to play it safe. Give us a spirit not of timidity, but of boldness. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.